grant us wisdom in your words as we approach the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for insight, clarifications, and application of truth in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 2 Timothy 3, we said salvation is a major, right? Is that clear? Is a major, and Paul says salvation, says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we said it's salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And now we are talking about the doctrine of salvation. So the doctrine of salvation. And we saw in the earlier session that this doctrine is what equips a minister. You must be equipped with the teaching of salvation. You must know your way around it. You must be that clever teacher or preacher of the word on the subject of salvation. You don't just become an expert. You know, he didn't say that the man of God will be thoroughly punished. He has known about marital issues, romance, 18 ways to break up, 15 ways to mend again. That doesn't make you a pastor. You know, or 77 ways to come out of the financial crisis. The truth is, he says it's the doctrine of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it's something the way I say it is like this. It's just like every career. Imagine today, after how many years I've been called to bar. I ask people that were called to bar last year, if you want to do what you know the reason, because I have not been practicing. I think Sister Titi once said, I don't know who sent her, she bought a very big book. I think it was, what was it? Was it Criminal Procedure he sent me? Huh? She was it, High Court Rules. Huh? You can't remember. You don't know how they used you. So she brought the book to me. She was so possessed, she doesn't even know who possessed her. She just brought to me that, just be reading it. I said, imagine, you know, Virginia at the bow. But the thing is, you know, it's something you need to be skillful. You get it? It's not, you don't say, I know. You need to be skillful with, you need to be, like we mentioned, it's about education on that subject. Hallelujah. Someone was asking, you were teaching on salvation? And he said, series 4. So he made 4 sessions. I said, no. He said, all together there were about 52. In fact, some were missing. So there should be more than that. And then 52. What were you talking about? People getting saved? The other side. Now, you think it's very basic until you sit the person down and say, and then the person will just ask questions. That fellow, what do you think will happen to him? You see that everything still comes back to salvation. Most of the questions we ask in Christianity are about salvation. It will come back to it. So that's why you must be skillful at this teaching. You must be skillful at this understanding. That's why it says you have known. Hoida means to appreciate, which also means to evaluate, something that you appreciate by evaluation. He said, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God, verse 16, and it is profitable with the Greek word ophthalmos. That is, the advantage of the scripture is for teaching. So that's why we said that the essence of that knowledge is for teaching, which is evidence, election, instruction into righteousness, correction, that the man of God may be perfect. Atios. Thoroughly, truly, I wanted to remember my thoroughly, so I just, truly furnished unto every good work. Now, how important is this? How important? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I heard a preacher once say, well, I had to call him on phone. I said, I just watched you on YouTube. Where did you hear that from? He said, it's not about doctrine, it's about Jesus. I called him, I said, what are you talking about? It's not about doctrine, it's about Jesus. All about. I said, who is Jesus? How do I know Jesus? He's not from my village. He's not in my, I don't have his pictures. you know. So I can only know him by teaching. And I'm just saying that, you know, people have forsaken Jesus for knowledge. I said, what are you talking about? You are confused. I know, and the point where he was saying it so well on YouTube, and it was sounding, you know, there's a way you can, you have oratory, you know, I'm talking about Jesus. You know, you are confused. Ah, you are really confused. The same Jesus spent more time teaching. Even unbelievers, he taught them till they were weak. Unbelievers. Do you know that? And there was no AC. You know? Imagine in those days, if you wanted to use the restroom, you just go to one corner and do it. And come back. And you continue. And there were children there. I said, what are you talking about? That's what I say, sir, but you know, they said, relationship with Jesus. Said, what are you still talking about? How do you relate with somebody you don't know? How do you know him? You know him by being taught. I get your point. I think you have not gotten it. Because you are as confused as your congregation, because they were saying, all of you are confused. Don't you? Like my late friend would say, he said, the pastor is so anointed that people will believe. He said, people will believe that. If you say it like this, they'll say, oh, eh? So we have to be very careful. And that's very vital. You know? So, there's an importance that there's something Paul used severally in his writing to Timothy. And it says in verse 10. And the reason why I'm focusing here is because, you know, we said, this is about being skillful. So he says, he was saying for, he started by talking about the law, because he was referring to those who were using the law. He said in verse 8, we know the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, we're coming to that, but for the lawless, disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured person, any other thing that is contrary to what? Sound doctrine. He used that word, doctrine is that that's kalean, which is what we saw earlier. But he used the word sound so often. The word sound here is the word pure or healthy. Go for a medical checkup. Like I go for. And I should go for more. I said that because of people will be looking at me. You know, you go and then they check everything. They check and check and check and check and check and check and check. Just like a car. They check and say, what's happening? You've been taking too much sugar. You've been doing this. Say, because why? This is functioning like this. That means you are not sound. Okay? So the word sound has to do with healthy. Healthy. Sound. Pure. Without corruption. It's the Greek word hugaino. H-U-G-A-N-O. G-A-I-N-O. Hugaino. It's used in the four gospels for physical health. Physical health. So I want you to picture that. Physical health. Luke 5:31. Physical health. Luke 5:31. Physical health, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The word whole, well. Luke 7:10. Found the servant whole that had been sick. Luke 7:10. Luke 15:27. The prodigal child. Because he has received him safe and sound. So hugaino, look at it in the physical, or things or persons, is that the person is okay physically. Healthy. Healthy. So, by the time Paul used it, and after this was, aside John, we're going to see John, Paul used it more than any other person. And he used it primarily for doctrine. So there is something called, so if you can have a healthy doctrine, we can have a sickening doctrine. Or a sick doctrine. This doctrine is sick. 1 Timothy 1:10, sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 6:3. 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, that's what's up, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine that is according to godliness. Wholesome words. Teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wholesome. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Healthy. That's what it is. Healthy. Don't say healthy. That does not have comma. You know what it means. What are you talking about? Healthy. And don't forget, we are talking about salvation. Healthy doctrine. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound teaching both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So how many times? We have read 5, right? Just by Paul alone. Sound. Titus 1:13. That they may be sound in the faith. Healthy. Some people who are sick. Some doctrines are sickening. That's not healthy. Somebody was saying this. And I saw the Facebook and everyone liked in less than 2 hours. Over 2,000 likes. He said, when faith fails, trust will take over. Trust never fails. I said, just doing, I don't know what in your school, GNS 101. Even the dictionary will laugh at you. How can you say faith and trust are different? And they were liking it. You know why? Because both the preacher and the student did not understand what faith is. And it happens when, I like how somebody said it. He said, the word is such that you have to calm down to understand the word of God. It's not something you know that when you are sitting here driving and listening, you know, that's just for inspirational purpose. You will sit down and listen to it very, very well. So it will be clear to you. If somebody is not healed, what is it? How does faith work? How does it not work? You will understand it very well when faith fails. And all that. And you know, somebody now quoted a verse. He said, I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. And then you will trust. Is that what he said? You just impute your thinking. So that is an unhealthy. For instance, God wants to prosper us. God wants us to prosper. But then there's an unhealthy teaching that I need to give him money to do it. So you just say, bring it. This Professor Fella, he will not turn it into 100-fold. That's an unhealthy teaching. He's sick. And then how do you know? Then you tell me that he's my father. He's my father. Say he's my father. Oh, he's my father. He loves me. He loves my money. Let's be honest. He loves my money. Do you get it? So that's unhealthy teaching. That's what some people rather call balanced. I don't use the word balanced. I use the word sound. Sound teaching. So, notice that. Titus 1:13 again. Titus 2:1. Speak thou the things which become what? Sound teaching. Sound doctrine. Verse 2. That the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in... So, you can see the word sound can be used spiritually. That brother is not sound. That sister is not sound. She's not feeling fine spiritually. He's not feeling fine. And he can be all decked up, three-piece suit, looking fine. You know, I said, you are not feeling fine spiritually. You are not okay. But I'm cool. You are not okay. Spiritually. When someone is walking in strife, he's sick. Unforgiveness is sick. Do you get it? Doubt. Sick. Sick. Sick spiritually. So there's spiritual sickness. Okay? So you find Paul use it for teaching, healthy. And don't forget, he was talking about, we're going to see it later, he was talking about salvation. Now John used it in 3 John 2. Many hermeneutics about this text has needed hermeneutics. Beloved, now that beloved is talking to one person, Gaius. Because he said, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. John liked the word beloved so much. So much. Beloved. I wish above all things, the word wish is the same word used for prayer, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. O gaino is used there. Even as thy soul prospers. Now, I've had people argue that this is talking about spiritual health. Do you get it? And because of the mix of words, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. You know, we have seen the word health can refer to spiritual things. Right? Are we making sense here? Good. So, it's plus, you go, no, look at the word is health, calm down. The word is ugaino, which has to do with sound. Imagine if we change it to, I wish above all things that thou mayest be sound. You know, you may not think he's talking about healing. But, we have seen earlier in the four gospels was used for the physical body. So we want to see, what is he talking about? Even as thy soul prospers. You know, the word soul in the scriptures, and I believe I've taken you through that before, can also refer to the entire man. It can refer to the spirit. It can refer to the mind. It can even refer to the body. You get it? The word soul refers to man's life. Spiritual, natural, or both. But look at what he said. And why it should not be debatable. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even as thy soul prospers. That word even is a Greek word, kathos. K-A-T-H-O-S. 183 times it is used for distinction. That is, it means just as your soul. That means it was referring to two different subjects or objects. Is that clear? Even so, he can't be referring to spiritual in the two instances. Are you listening? Is comparing one with the other. One distinct from the other. So, pathos is to create a distinction from a preceding noun or verb. So, one of them must be different from the other. So, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. That is, the word prosper is eudio in the Greek. E-U-O-D-U-O. Or E-U-O-D-O-O. It means successful. It's often used for journeys. Romans 1:10. Romans 1:10. Romans 1:10 making requests by any means at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to you. Prosperous journey. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Let each man lay in store. Each one has God, italicized, has prospered him. So it's used for successful. Something that is fruitful. Used for a journey or used for success. So notice, so if that means if he says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So we must first of all examine, who is this fellow? If he's asking him to prosper as and be in health, that is, he's talking about he being in health. What kind of health? Spiritual or natural? Let's look at the person he's talking to. Because if he's saying that to him, he says, I rejoice greatly, verse 3, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, as thou walks in the truth. So, is this man doing well spiritually? Huh? Fine. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. So he is walking in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So he's also faithful in his works. He does well. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forth on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because for name's sake, you went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. So he went on. He's obviously a person who was of good spiritual standing. I must also note that he's a person who obviously, you know, was okay financially. Okay financially, because he was known for charity. He was known for, at least there's to learn from people, there was a dear elder brother who liked a lot of financial prosperity thing. Let me see that Gaius was quoted by Peter, John, and Paul. He said, I want to be a Gaius. Obviously, you learn things from people. It was, Paul mentioned him, Peter mentioned him, and here you are again. John mentioned him. So obviously he was somebody who was well to do. He had a house, people would come, he bore witness. They were witness of his charity, the way he took care of people, and so on and so forth. So therefore, if he says, and be in health, even as your soul prospers, we are therefore have no choice but to know that he was referring to what? His bodily health. Are you there? Am I not clear to you? Is it clear to you? Aha. Obviously, he was doing fine spiritually. Because he said, I can see that I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So make sure you see that. So back to the issue of sound doctrine. Now look at a misquote, as it were, 2 Timothy 1:7. Which God by his mercy permitted many of us to use for academics. For God, the others we have used. I have the mind of Christ. You better have the mind of your lecturer. It's the mind of your lecturer that will make you pass. You go and get the mind of Christ. Explanation of Christ as touching the word. And then they get there. I wrote a course in my first year, philosophy. And they said that God is water. How would I write down with the mind of Christ? I had to write the mind of my lecturer. God is water. Man of God. I wrote it and I scored. Man of God. They say, let me give you an instance. They say, where does the mosquito parasite come from? He said, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's the mind of Christ. Whoever, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, they begin to trace the issue of man's degradation, mortality. The man will just say, you go to Bible school. So, the mind of Christ, in fact, the revelation of Christ in the scriptures are not, when you have not read your books, say, God, the mind of Christ. I know things have happened to us by mercy. And then you pass. But he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, of power, love, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. The word is different here. Very different word. Sophronismos. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-I-S-M-O-S. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-I-S-M-O-S. It's often used for self-control. Self-control, the exam or? Self-control is derived from another word, a cognate noun, sophronizo. Sophronizo is used for being sober. Sophro again, then miso. Titus 2:4. Did you notice that a lot of times when Paul is talking to women, he asks them to be sober? Self-control. Conservative. The aged women in behavior. Titus 2:4. That they may teach the younger women to be sober. To be sober. Sober. Sober there is sophronizo, which is to be calm. So God has not given us the spirit of fear, love, power, and self-control. Is that okay? Self-control. So go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul talked about contrary to sound doctrine. What doctrine is he talking about? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, verse 12, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Please follow this thought very well. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So, he's talking about salvation. Please follow this. This is a faithful saying. Now, the word faithful saying is the word apodotia in the Greek, means approved. This is known. This is the approved saying. Apodotia, A-P-O-D-O-C-H-E. Worthy of all acceptation. What is this sound doctrine? He's talking about sound doctrine. This is approved of God. This is worthy of all acceptation. Faithful saying. Acceptation there is apodoche. That Christ Jesus came into this world to do what? To the world. To save sinners. Remember Matthew 1:21. For he will save his people from their sins. He came to this world to save sinners. That is sound doctrine of salvation. He came to this world to save sinners, which we have identified as his sufferings or suffering to save sinners. So the word sinners now come to, it will come at us. The word sinner is another word used 47 times from Matthew to Revelation. Is the word, you know, sin is amatai. I will come to that. Is amatolos. H-A-R-M-A-T-O-L-O-S. 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 It means sinful. Depraved. Actually, it's used for a loser. Somebody who lost something. That is, something is missing in the person. It's a condition of a loss. Amatolos. So Christ, remember how Jesus explained it to the, which one did we read earlier? Is it Luke 7? He says, those that are whole do not need a physician. Okay? So, Christ came to this world to save sinners. That is, those who have something missing. Of whom Paul himself said, I am chief. This is where I read, of whom Paul was chief. That's not identification in Christ. Of whom Paul was chief. Because when he mentioned the things his old man did, I can't appropriate that for myself because I want to be like Paul. No. I was never like that. I wasn't injurious. I was not a persecutor. That was not a blasphemer. None of that. I was even a very good young boy. I wasn't like him at all. So the word sinners is important. Of the 47 times it is used from Matthew to Revelation, the four gospels claim 34. 34. That's what percentage. About 75% or 70%. They claimed 34. Of which, a good number were used by others, not Jesus. It wasn't his regular way of communication. A good number were used by others, not Jesus. Where Jesus used it, let's go through it. Matthew 9, verse 13. What we read earlier. But you go and learn what mean. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's quoting from Micah, Hosea 6:6. And Micah 6:6, 7 and 8. Matthew 9:13. To call sinners to repentance. Matthew 11:19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. See, he's quoting them now. So, the first instance he used it, he used it figuratively. They have not come to call, let me switch it like this, the self-righteous. That's the, is figuratively. So, it's not in his mode of speaking. He said, they say, I'm drinking and eating with the gluttonous, wine bibbers and sinners. He's quoting them. That's Jesus now. Matthew 26:45. The Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. This were repeated in other three accounts. Matthew 26:45, referring to the fact that he was betrayed by men. At no point is he using it at all to condemn anyone. Somebody follow what I'm saying? Mark 8:38. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Luke 6:32. We'll see his use of the word sinful very soon. Luke 6:32. If you love them that love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Verse 33. If you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. So, again, he's using their mode of communication. People that are seen in the society as having a different lifestyle. People that are not morally approved of. So, then what is the distinction that you have? Luke 13:2. Not this one, vitally. Luke 13:2. Verse 1 says, there were present at the season some that were told of him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate killed people. And he answered and said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffer such things. That you think that some were greater sinners. That's what above all. You think they were more. That is, do you think that this occurrence happened to these folks because you were better? So you can see that Jesus' use of the word sinners was borrowed from the present use of the term. Do you think that you are better off, or anybody is better off because this happened to them? So you don't, in other words, you don't use circumstances that happen to people to begin to make distinctions of how great or not great the sinner is. Luke 18:13, the publican. He says, be merciful to me, a sinner. This was in his parable. Luke 15, before that. Luke 15, verse 7 and 10. Again, about salvation. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 that needs no repentance. Verse 10, the same thing. I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. John doesn't use it at all. The word sinner, amatolos, is not used by John at all. So we have how many left? We have 34. We have 13 left for the entire epistles. In Romans 3:7. So Jesus used sinners in two ways. Let's go over that again. He used sinners, number one, in the common day usage of those who had immoral, or they were not the society's best morally. Then he comes and uses sinners in his own words for people he came to die for. Are you following that? Do you understand that? In two ways. For said, there's joy in heaven for every sinner that repents. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Romans 3:7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? It's not descriptive. It's again reporting people's view of him, what they said about him. Romans 8:5. For God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Amatolos. Christ died for us. Romans 5:19. For if by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Romans 7:13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, walking death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. That's the word amatolo, sinful. Galatians 2:15. Galatians 2, verse 15. Who are we, Jews by nature? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. Knowing that a man is not justified by the work of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the work of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at verse 17 together. Let's say it. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Now, he calls a sinner here one that does not appropriate or say believe in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are now found sinners. So the terminology changed. Are you listening? 1 Timothy 1, 9. The law is made for sinners. Then verse 15. Christ came to the world to save sinners, of whom, like I said earlier, Paul was chief. Hebrews 7, verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, undefiled, separate from sinners. That is, those who had a condition of loss. Do you get it? He didn't have a condition of loss and made higher than the heavens. That is, incomplete beings. Something was missing. Hebrews 12:3. Contradiction of sinners against himself. The Matthew 26:45. Who considering the endured sort of sinners, that is, the death of Christ, is described here. First. It was only James. James 4:8. Draw near unto God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, yo amatolos. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So that double-mindedness was the sinfulness James was talking about. James used sinners for believers. Refer what Paul will use for carnal person. You understand? You are yet carnal. I've taught you that before, I believe, right? James 5:20. Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This is not talking about salvation. It's talking about correcting a believer who is walking in error. So James was the only person who used the word sinners for believers. Don't forget again, the word sinner is depraved, sinful, somebody who has lost from a condition. Just like the same way Paul will call the unbeliever natural man. Why? He does not have the Spirit of God. So that does not have is an amatolos. Do you understand? Is that clear? He does not have. That means the Spirit of God is missing. Now look at this. James didn't use those words. He either used the word sinners to explain what Paul will say, you are yet carnal. Which is, James used on the word sinner and Paul's on the word carnal are oxymorons. Using an opposite of a person or a thing to explain an action. Like saying, that guy's an animal. Now you know he's not an animal. You don't expect to see him and then you see his ears like a dog. So that guy's a dog. No. He's talking about a conduct, not his nature. You get that? So, the same way James was referring to as sinners, he said double-minded. So, that double-mindedness is James's way of referring to the word carnal. Same way, error of his way. Is that clear? So, the oxymoron usage of the word sinners. First Peter 4:18, this is Peter now. For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The ungodly that is the sinner, the man that is not born again. That's what he's talking about. Jude 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are godly among them that are ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So, the word sinners was carefully used, in as much as we saw James, and we permit him, because, I mean, the same way Paul, people have criticized him for using the word sinners for Christians, I said, well, Paul also used the word carnal for believers. That's what they used, the word carnal for believers. In fact, he told some women, they said they have gone after Satan. That's a strong word. You get it? So, really, I mean, it's a figure of speech. Because he had already spoken to the same people. Said, of though we begat us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of false fruit of his creatures. So this was a born of God. Do you understand? So he had identified them by nature as born of God in James 1:18, but in their conduct he calls them sinners. Is that clear? Is that okay? Now let's go further. So what is this sinfulness or condition? Now if you have been trying to battle with dozing, wake up now. What is this condition? If you notice, in Jesus' earthly walk, just like the fathers, just like John said about him, he was not, as he said about himself, he didn't come to distinguish. He didn't come to make a distinction. So, he didn't look at one sin and the other. And he's talking about sins and sinners. That's vital. Now, the word sin is a compound word. We've seen that before. It's a compound word. You must always look at it within the context where or how it was used. Let's explore this a little bit. In the entire four Gospels, the word sin is used singular, except once. Who knows the ones? Which one? Matthew 12. Every sin shall be forgiven. Every sin. And we said that, even at that, it is still, the plural is still in part, because every means there is more than one. Do you understand? This, when you say, talk about blasphemy, every sin. So that is in part. So even at that Matthew 12, the word sin can still be seen. Okay? In the plural. That is Matthew to Luke. Sorry, I made a mistake. Matthew to Luke. Matthew 12, verse 31. All manner of sin, okay, shall be forgiven. So that means there are manners. Matthew 12, 31. So we can say that this is also plural. Right? Correct? Okay. Only John used sin in the singular. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. John used the word sin 20 times, and 13 of the 20 times were singular. Singular. But a curious, and I say curious because I believe we are Bible students, so we are curious, is the fact that what he said in John 1:20, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which is actually John the Baptist that said it, that takes the sin of the whole world away, or takes away the sin of the whole world. The word whole world becomes, it comes to mind. Then you now report John 2:2, who is the propitiation not only for our sins, but for, now notice the word sins is italicized, the second one, but for the whole world. For the whole world. 1 John 2:2. 1 John, that's when the word whole world comes to me, like I said, you know. 1 John 4:10 or 4:9. Is sent is only begotten to the world that we to him might live. Here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Again, the word war doesn't come in. So, for the sin of the whole world stands out in John 1:29 and is not ever said any other place as sins of the whole world. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll get it. So John, in his own in his gospel, used sin in the singular a whole lot. 13 out of 20 times. For example, look at John 8:21. I've seen people use this to pass judgment, but that's really ridiculous. Jesus said, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." You can just take the word "die in your sins." You die in your sins. But that's not good. And then they said, "Will he kill himself?" Because he said, "Whether I go, you cannot come." Very stupid people. Verse 23, he now says, "You are from beneath. I am from above." I didn't say Benin, no, I said beneath. "I am from above. You are of the world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins." Why did he say that? "For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins." So you can see Jesus' focus. If you what? Believe not, you shall die in your sins. That means when they die. He didn't say that, "You don't believe me, I will kill you." When you die, you will be with your sins. Are you following what I'm saying? Remember we said that his salvation is to separate you from what? So what is he talking about here? You will die in your sins will mean what? You will die in the judgments. Is that clear? Are you following? John 16. Again, what's the condition? If you believe, if you don't believe that I'm the one sent to what? Save from sins. You will die. So it's not like he hates them. It's just a consequence of not believing. John 16:8, singular, of sin, because they believe not on me. That's verse 9. Verse 8 says, to reprove the world of sin. Okay? Because they believe not on me. In the entire book of Acts, the word sin used by Stephen, in the singular way, lay not the sin. That's the only time it's used in a singular way. The sin to their charge. 760. Lay not this sin, to their charge. Now, take note of something. That sin singular. Every other place will be plural. Again, this sin, what's he talking about? Is torture. The killing of it. So that's individual. So it doesn't pass the test of what we're looking at. Now, in the book of Romans, the word sin is mentioned 48 times. That's huge. 48. And in 48 times, pay attention to this, Romans 5 has it 6 times. That's in chapters now. Romans 6 has it 16 times. Romans 7 has it 15 times. Fifteen. of which 5 is plural. Romans 5, 6 times, Romans 6, 16 times, Romans 7, 15, 5 plural. Romans 8, 5 times. Then Romans 11, plural, that is Romans 11, 27. Then Romans 14, 23, whatever is not of faith is seen just once. Now, please look at this. Where you have sin in plural, Romans 3, 9. So the book of Romans focused on sin in the singular form. Romans 3, 9. Is singular, that they are all under sin. Romans 3, 9. Romans 3, 20. The knowledge of sin. Singular. Romans 4, 7. Whose sins are covered. Romans 4, 8. He will not impute sin. Singular. Okay. So just note that we're coming back. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul. He used sins, plural, verse 3. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. Romans 15, 17. You are yet in your sins. 17. Romans 15, 56. The strength of sin is the law, singular. Romans 15, 56. Second Corinthians 5, 21. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. Singular. Second Corinthians 11, 7 is personal. Just note it. Galatians 1, 4. Galatians 1, 4. Who gave himself for our sins? Galatians 1, 4. Galatians 2, 17. Christ, the minister of sin, God forbid, singular. Galatians 3:22 concluded all under sin. The scripture, Galatians 3:22, singular. Ephesians 2:1, plural, in our trespasses and sins. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, Ephesians 1:7 doesn't have sins in the original, where it says forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The word sins is not original. So, forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. So, for sins is not used in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 7. Just note that. In 1 Thessalonians 2:16, Paul mentions sin individual. 1 Thessalonians 2:16. Fill up their sins always. 1 Thessalonians 2:16. And you group this together in your study. 1 Timothy 5:22. Be not partaker of any man's sins. Individual issues. 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are open beforehand. Individual sins again. 2 Timothy 3:6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins led away was lost. So, Paul's emphasis on sin is not individual sins or errors. No. He spoke about it, but was not a major. We'll handle a bit of that tomorrow morning. It was not a major. So, Hebrews 1. So, you can see that there was a focus on sin that was not individual. Either from Jesus, or just like he said, God did not send his son to the world to make a distinction. Are you following? Let me see if I'm getting this clearly. Is it clear to you? Is it to make a distinction? Okay? There's some people come and when you're preaching the gospel, you begin to make distinctions. You guys say, I have not done anything you have said. Where does that land your gospel? He said he didn't come to make that evaluation. There was no crino. Okay? Now let's go further. Now, Hebrews 1:3. For we bring the brightness of his glory, the expression of his person, upon all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Okay? Plural. Hebrews 2:17. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2:17. Hebrews 4:15. Yet without sin. Actually, was at all point tempted like as without sin. The word as we are is not in the originals. Somebody was preaching when we were in school, he said Jesus was also whatever homosexuality, lesbianism. I said, it was the leader I was talking anyway. Lesbian, I said, even a man, lesbianism. That he was at all points tempted. And the word like as we are is not in the original. Your entire revelation was on italics. Shame on you. Hebrews 5:1. Sacrifice for sins. Verse 3. To offer for sins. You know the reason why Hebrews was focusing on plurality of sins was because it was a typology explanation, talking from the Old Testament. So it had to talk about the plurality of sin, whereas Paul majored on the condition of it. Do you understand? Do you get it? Do you understand? Okay, let's move forward. You didn't answer. Paul's major was on the condition. Right? He also talked about the actions of sin. But Paul majored on the condition of sin. Don't forget, amatolos means something is missing. Right? And the way we defined amateia last week, okay, we'll come to that now. I think I'll define it again. So, Hebrews 5. Have we read Hebrews 5:3? Yes, we have. Hebrews 7:27. First, that is the high priest for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. That's Jesus. The first one is not for Jesus, it's for the high priest of the Old Testament. Hebrews 8:12. I thought we looked at this last week. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins. What was that word merciful we used last week? This is Sunday, huh? To take far from you. Thank you. and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. What's not supposed to be there? He used just two words. Unrighteousness and their sins. And iniquities. Which one should we take out? We took out iniquity because it's not in the originals. We went to Hebrew, Jeremiah 31. It was not there. And the original text is also not there. Okay? Is that okay? Now let's go further. Hebrews 8:12. We just read that. Hebrews 9:28. Christ as was once offered to bear the sins of many, unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So, the writer of Hebrews has not dealt with the condition. Right? He has dealt with the actions of sin. Hebrews 9:28 is twice. Without sin unto salvation. That is singular. Hebrews 10. Verse 2. Once purged, they shall have no more consciousness, that's the word conscience, of sins. That's the Old Testament offering. Verse 3. Remembrance again of sins every year. Verse 4. So much sin here. Shall take away sins. Very sinful chapter. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou will have no pleasure. Verse 8, still sinning. Burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou will not. Neither has pleasure. Okay? Again, now he now says in verse 11, which can never take away sins. Verse 12, one sacrifice for sin. So every time he even uses it in the plural, in the singular text, he's still referring to the plural. By the time you read contextually. Are you following? Are you following? So it's the book of Romans that can bail us out of a certain issue that we have to look at. Again, verse 17. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Even though singularly used, like I mentioned, it is referring to the plural that was earlier referred to. Verse 26. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So you notice that in the book of Hebrews, whenever he's talking about sins, primarily he's talking about sacrifice for sins, and he's making an allusion to the sacrifice of the Old Testament being figurative of the offering of Jesus. Is that okay? Well, fine. So, at no time is he referring to the condition of the men in these ones we have read? He will, in inference, and we will see it. In Hebrews 11:25, that was personal. The pleasures of sin, that is Moses, for a season. Pleasures already in first plural. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset. Now, at this point, he's no longer talking about sacrifice. He's talking about the believer. The sin. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking away, better still, unto Jesus. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So verse 1 and verse 4 are not talking about the same thing. Hebrews 13:11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without camp. Again, the Old Testament. So, Romans 5 will be a handy tool. Romans 5 verse 12 says, by one man, sin entered into where? into the world. The word sin is the word amatar, taken from two words, a, negative, that is not part of, meros, like a location, a place, an object. So amatar, sin will mean not part of, cut away from, not present. We can call missing the mark. Now, it presupposes that for there to be an amatar definitely, let's say amatar is for sin, is derived. That is, you know, there are some words called masculine in grammar, and there's some called feminine. That is, it is dependent on something. You cannot have amatar if there is no meros. That means there was something to be missing. There was something to be cut off from. Do you understand? Is that clear? Uh-huh. You cannot have death without life. You can't have darkness without light. It is called darkness because light is not there. It is called death because life is not there. So it is called sin because something is missing. Something is not there. That, and whatever is not there precedes sin. Is that clear? Is that clear? Uh-huh. So, sin entered into the world. That means something ought to have entered. Or, something ought to have been. The word meros will be something let me go back again. Something must have preceded the sin. Right? Huh? Obviously, it's not the law. Are we together here? Are we together? Something preceded that one man's sin. So it is taken from the word meros is a message, a house, an object, something that is owned. So something precedes it. So, through one man, sin entered into the world. Are you listening? Now, when we proceed further, the writer now begins, you know, there's a way you can explain, like I said, it's a compound word. But, you know, how do you, in grammar, you now begin to explain a compound word, either with adjectives, okay? Or you begin to use what is called cognate expressions. Now, okay, I'm talking about something that you can apply differently. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Because if I say through one man's sin, everybody begins to now begin what it is. That, and we all now started imagining. It is fornication. With who? Do you understand? Would he have stolen something? Everything was ease. Are you following what I'm saying? So, if we don't get this one, we may not understand this. So, listen carefully. In other words, it was sex. How? You get it? No, that's ridiculous. If a fellow was trying to, you know, all of these boys that would, he had a part of word, and they just run out. So was that, he said, Adam really fell. He said, because God wanted to function his image. I was listening to him, because he used to come for our meetings then in where he used to teach in UI then. He said, no, because God expected man not to reproduce by sex, but just, so he just saw my face like, shoot. How? Yeah, you know, it's a death. It just stop. It's a death. But I would have stopped him. It's a death. It's a death. So I said, what is the death? Yeah, he said, I believe. Remember, he was sweating. I believe. It's by speaking forth. You are crazy.
Very crazy.
Nonsense. When God said one flesh, it was before Adam fell. Right? He didn't say one spirit. He said one flesh. So he has spoken about the sexual union before whatever he thought he ate. You know? Do you understand? As, you know, as I think I'm looking for revs here. You will become a canker one day. Great message. By the time you are so curious, you just begin to say, that's that. You know, there was somebody, it's a pastor, I told him that, you know, I said, we had finished talking about him learning doctrine. I said, you know something, I've heard you preach. It didn't make sense at all. I don't know what we are trying to say. And all that. I said, you need to really learn. He said, I know, sir. I said, now what do you believe? I said, not Jesus. What do you believe? What do you believe? I said, sir. So without waiting, I said, okay, just listen to the teaching. Listen very well, though. So I said, I'm downloading. He said, I saw utterance. I said, what? You went for utterance? I said, yeah, I know it's serious first. You went for concerning utterance. I said, you see, I know that. I said, yeah, I'll confess. I said, when I checked the MB, I said, 8 hours, 11 hours. So let me go for 1 hour. I said, okay, no problem. So I said, you know what? Go and listen to charismatic ministry now. I said, I'll do, yes, sir. So he just buzzed me, bam. I said, sir, doing the teaching, I thought he had a good question. He said, to refer to a preacher, a pastor in Lagos, who is it? I said, that's the only thing. He said, no, sir. I said, what is it with you if you know the name? I said, you're a curious person. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, okay, I'll tell you. So he now puts my lip and I mention his name. You are the man. Get off my phone. You know, we have clowns. I mean, because I thought you would say, wow, I learned this. Say, who is the first in me? It's John the Baptist. So, how did I get there? Please bail me out. Sin. That you now look at how it was explained. Okay? You know, in Genesis, you'll be wondering, what was it? Yeah, come on, it's only fruit. And then eating fruit then becomes a problem. And everybody dies. Where is the food? In fact, don't let me go into that. Look at this now. You know, in going further, Paul explains. He now checked out, this is the beauty part. He now changed his use of words. Then, afterwards, from verse 15. So sin was in the world, verse 13, but sin is not impeded when there is no law. Then, in verse 15, where is it? One man. If through the offense, he changed it to offense now. That's the King James. Offense. Verse 16, offense. Did you notice that? Many offenses. Verse 17 again, offenses. Verse 18 again, what? Offenses. That's the word paraptoma. So that means he's explaining the armatire. Do you understand? Are you listening? Paraptoma. P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A. Paraptoma is an action. It is used for a step. Is taken from the word parapito. Parapito is where you have trespass. You know, trespass is where you cross somewhere. Somebody said he put on a parcel of land. He said trespass and cross to heaven. So you don't bother your head, you know, about that. So the truth is, you know, there is a step. That means there was an action. Okay? An action that Paul is saying through an offense. That what parapeto is used just once, interestingly, Hebrews 6:6. To fall away. To fall away from. So that means there is something you departed from. Parapeto will be, I ought to be here. Look at me. I now move here. So, if I'm like this, and I ought to be here, and I come here, this is a trespass. You get it? I'm here like this. You gave me a route and said, go this way. Go to your right, and you get to the house. And now, look at the map. And now said, I think I will get there this way. This is a trespass. Trespass is not that I left this place for here. No. I ought to go this way. Are you following me? I now go this way. Are you listening? Now, wait. That means, if I go this way, left, instead of right, this is the action. But what will be the condition and amateur I have missed out of this? Do you understand? Should I go over it again? You will say yes. Everything is yes. Yes and amen. I'm here. Okay? You have given me a direction. Go to the right. Like we said, for there to be an amateur, there must have been a path. Something must precede the action. So go to the right. And I take the map. My action of going to the left is a trespass. The condition will be what? An amateur. I have missed out on this. Do you get it? Is it clear now? I have missed out on this place by acting this way. This is the trespass. This is the condition. Do you understand? Now let's follow. So, in verse 20, again he says, the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, that is much more, it increased. That means offenses now, that is the word paraptoma, where sin, that is missteps now abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, we have peripatao, which is to walk in the Spirit, right? Walk in the Spirit. You know what I say? To walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, peripatao, it's a step. There are actions. So, what exactly is this peripatao? What is this misstep? What is this? What happened? Sin is the compound word for everything we are talking about. Do you understand? Do you understand? Now look at verse 19. He now changed this. You know, we have been using amataya, and we've been using peritoma. He says, for by one man's word, disobedience. That clarifies it for us. Disobedience is from a very, very clear, unusual word here. Parakohi in the Greek. P-A-R-A-K-O-E. It means refusal to heed. To refuse to hear. To refuse to hear. That means something preceded my step to the left. Are you following what I'm saying? Something preceded my step to the left. Instead of going to the right. It says disobedience. Parakoi, to refuse to hear. So that means something must have been spoken. Are you listening? That word is taken from parako, that is P-A-R-A-K-U-O. Jesus used it in Matthew 8:17 when he says that when you and your brother have, when there's an offense, you go to him. Matthew 18. Verse 17 says, if he neglects to hear them. Now, to hear them doesn't mean that he will close his ears. What does it mean? They are talking and he's not responding to what they are saying. He's not acting upon what the elders, what the church is saying. Or, you know, what two or three are saying. He's not bothered. He's not responding to it. Same thing, Mark 5:36. Mark 5:36, parakuho. Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the word, parakuho, he heard. So, parakuho or parakuho is a willful refusal to act. So, something must have been said. So take your eyes off trees, okay? Is that okay? Off trees. Something must have been said. What we have in Genesis is a figurative explanation of what happened. The same way, the serpent is not literal. Okay? The trees are not literal. The fruit isn't literal. Nobody in the epistles use that expression to explain man's sin. Not one person. They are not literal. So, and what we have found out in, listen carefully, is that, so go back to, okay, let's see this. Let's go to Genesis 2. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Are you listening? Which trees did we know of? Just two. Right? Are you listening? Just two. Thou mayest freely eat. Okay? Now, to eat, if today we come to the new covenant to explain the word, it's just like Jesus talked about eat. To eat the bread of life will be to believe and see. Are you listening? To eat is to believe. Right? To drink is the same thing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because whenever I speak of speech or food, alright, for spiritual things, it has to do with believing. Are you listening? Good. So watch it again. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but that is to receive by believing. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, for me to speak about death, that means there was life. Okay? Now, so, that means God's word communicated life to Adam. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. That begins Genesis now. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? Huh? In the word was life, and the life was the light of all men. So in God's word, his life. That's the first description. Life. So, it simply means that in the garden, there was a choice. And that is the same choice today that we present to men when we preach the gospel to them. Nothing has changed. So go back to Romans 5. So to Adam was Christ preached, right? Okay? Romans 5, verse 14 is very key. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned. Please just note this is very him, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. After the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now listen to this. This makes a distinction. Said, now the word similitude means that same as, which you have the word omoima. Let me spell it. Omoima, sorry. H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. It means same as. Something that looks like it. Like a reproduction of something. You see it in Romans 1:23. Romans 1:23. Made like to corruptible man. Romans 1:23. Romans 6:5. Romans 6:5. We shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Romans 6:5. Romans 8:3. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So, go back to Romans 5. It says that even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That means Adam's transgression had a class of his own. So, it is not the same sins that we are talking about. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you listening? Uh-huh. It's not the same sins. Said, but death reigned over them. Now, he used a word, he said transgression. When the word transgression is used, interestingly, a law is in view. Because it's the word parabasis. P-A-R-A-B-A-I-S-I-S. A law is always in view. But verse 13 is contradictory because it says that there was no law. Right? Verse 13 says, there was no law. So, we must stretch our meaning of the word law. Romans 2:15 says that we show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts. The meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. That's not the law of Moses. Romans 4:15. The law works wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. That's the very law of Moses. But then, we have other places where the law, the word law, is used. Romans 8:2. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that means a principle. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. So, where you find transgression, you'll find it again, Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then, serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, plural, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made. Imagine, the law was added with, that means, that definition of sin being or a transgression of the law. And he's saying here, watch this, that the law was added because of transgression. Are you following what I'm saying? So the word law should be saying which law? Which principle? Better still. It must not be zeroed into the law of Moses. Galatians 3:19, that's supposed to be read, right? 1 Timothy 2:14. Eve was in transgression and there was no law. Hebrews 2:2 was definitely the law. Every transgression and disobedience, power base is used there. Hebrews 9:15. Redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. So, we can zero in the word principle, the word law, a power basis to a principle, right? A rule, an instruction, a guide. So, let's now define parabasis. Parabasis means to step over a principle. To step outside a law. That's what it is. And what law did he sidestep? The law of the Spirit of life where? In Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to take note of it. I know I've explained this particular one before, but I want to go over it in more clarity, or maybe once more for emphasis. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the seed of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? That's a bit difficult. Because it will mean that, because you are describing transgression. The next statement should not be, is a figure of him that is to come. Now, the one to come, is he also going to sin? Look at it very well. He is saying to us, because he is discussing sin. He is saying, Adam, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over them, who did not do the things he did? Who did not do what he did? He didn't say they didn't do anything. But they didn't do what was, they didn't do anything similar to what he did. Are you following me? Who is the figure of him that is to come? That's confusing. Are you saying that he is now a prototype of someone who is going to sin like he did? So, bad translation there. So, that will make, did you hear that? That will make us think a little bit. Now, of course, Adam is called the first Adam, Jesus is called the second and last Adam, which is 1 Corinthians 15, but it's not the same thing. Right? It's not the same thing. Even here, he is called one man. Christ is also called one man. But that is not what 14 is referring to. 14 is talking about sin. Okay? Now, the word he, okay, who is to come, is a very loose application. It is the Greek word host, he or ho, H-O-S-H-E or H-O, used 1,411 times. It can mean who, whom. It can mean what, that, which. Or what. Which was to come. Or, sorry, of that, or what that was to come, or better still, or referring to an action, that is the word holds, an action, an event, or persons. So let's look at it. What is he talking about? Oftentimes, when you have a confusion here, you look at the what follows after it. What follows after it, okay, is the word, look at the word to come. It's actually coming, plural. What was coming? M-E-L-L-O, mello, in the Greek. 110 times used. It's used for persons, things, events, and actions. Persons, things, events, and actions. Persons, things, events, and actions. Romans 8:13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 18, for instance. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth to be compared to the glory that shall be. So, it refers to things, verse 38. Nor things present, nor things to come, mellow. So, are we referring to a person here or actions. We're going to see. He used the word typos, figure. The word figure is the word example. Is the example of him that is to come. Is Adam an example of Jesus? No. Rather, his transgression is an example of things to come. A manner. A pattern was set in his actions. Romans 6:17. It was not similar. It was a pattern. Do you understand that? Do you understand? A play of words. Similitude. It's not a similitude. Rather, it is what? A pattern. Do you understand? Huh? It's not a similitude. Rather, it is what? A pattern. That is, listen carefully. Death reigned from Adam to Moses over them that did not do what he did. Okay? But he is a figure, a pattern of how men will walk in sin. Do you understand? Is it very clear? Uh-huh. Of it is, so he said for the pattern. Paul used it in Romans 6:17. Romans 6:17. Thank God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. That pattern. An example. So all sin will be defined by God's word. Do you understand? Sin will be defined by God's word. That is why he said there was no law when there was sin. So you cannot define sin by the law of Moses. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You define sin by what? By the word. Adam being a pattern. Do you get it? Uh-huh. Do you understand? Uh-huh. Adam being a pattern. Or Adam's, sorry, that's a mistake. Adam's transgression being what? A pattern. Not a similitude. Do you get it? So sin will be defined by God's word. So it is what God says is sin that is sin. It will be defined by God's word. So let's quickly look at 1 John 3 and then we round up from there. 1 John 3. Like I said, our emphasis is on salvation and sin and sins. So that when we start talking about unbelief, that if somebody, can somebody renounce Christ? It will be clear to you where we lay good foundation. Is that okay? Can someone do this? I don't have a disciple. I've gone to the mosque. What do I do? Just relax. Okay? Let us first of all lay foundation. Then we'll get there. Alright? Don't be in a hurry. 1 John 3. This one has caused katakata. Verse 9. Whatsoever is born of God does not commit sin. Don't say, he's talking about practice of sin. Who knows not practice? Huh? Is he unconscious? For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. So people say, I cannot sin. And he's stealing your money. If I give you a dirty slap, you will sin. See, I cannot see. You know, because again, we are reading, we have forgotten that sin is a compound word. It must be defined by the adjectives or the preceding nouns and explanation. Do you understand? Aha. Uh-huh. So, whatever is born of God cannot sin. Let's quickly look at what he was saying here. Read the preceding text. So don't get too excited and say, I'm born of God. I cannot sin. Calm down. You just sinned. The man who wrote this, okay? The man who wrote this said, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. However, if any man sin, verse 2, he has an advocate with the right, with the Father. I'll be wrong with righteous. Verse 1. Verse 2. Who is a propitiation for what? Our sins. Not only our sins, but the whole world. Verse 12. I write this unto you little children. Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So, how would he now come and say, whatever is born of God cannot sin? Well, that's what he's saying. Forgiveness simply means there is sin. You can't have forgiveness and there's no sin to forgive. Do you understand? So, what is he talking about? Again, our help is from the scriptures. Not too far from that, in chapter 5, he says in verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin that is not unto death, he shall ask, shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. But there is a sin unto death. I do not say that you shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. That word righteousness is the same word we have used so far. Peripatoma, that is trespass. All unrighteousness is sin. All missteps. Alright? That is, you should not have said that, you said that. You should not have, you know, it is sin. But there is a sin not unto death. So, can you see that John in his writings made a distinction? Are you following this? So, you cannot classify everything he's saying in the same box. So, let's get back to chapter 3 again. Are you learning something? Verse 9 says, whatever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. So, let's look at the term born of God, used by John. In chapter 5, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So, who is born of God? The believer. So, don't come and recreate it. Someone was saying that there is the church general. He said, but there's also the church of the firstborn. For me, I don't really have issues with those things. Because, you know, truth of the matter is that some of us are probably more privileged than some are. You'll have said worse. I remember I was sharing years back, and I know these guys were my disciples, so they were really flowing. But a friend of mine was around, so I was saying, I said, the Bible says the cloud of witnesses. And I was really excited about it. And I started talking about demons and all that, and he started laughing. I was scared. So he now corrected me. That's a privilege. My crowd did not know any better. They were just saying, the cloud of witnesses including demons. But see, you may not blame people sometimes for things that they say. It's just the light that they have. Okay? But it's now not right for you, you know, to be exposed to God's word and not be careful with the use of words like that. It's not the firstborn. I said, it's the firstborn. So now he did a series on firstborn inheritance. He now went into, you know, Isaac was the firstborn. This one that even though Jacob and Ishmael was born before him, Jacob and Esau, even though Esau that is the sort of the problem that those who are chosen by grace and all that. So a brother that was we're watching the TV, I said, it's not difficult. Just go and read what firstborn is in Hebrews. Church of Christ. He was thinking the firstborn are the people in the church. Whereas the firstborn is talking about Jesus, first begotten from the dead. When he bringeth the first begotten into the world. You know, it's not difficult. You get it. But he just went to say that that's why he says, that will be conformed to the image. You are born again, but are you conformed? Jesus. There is the spirit of adoption, Christ have a father. We are led by the spirit of God.
See, there's trouble. You get it. But like I said, I mean, sometimes that's what people know. Okay? And it's not good to mock people. It's not even fair. But let's look at this. Don't let me go into all that. Whether Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. So when he says whatsoever is born of God, you know, overcometh the world, he's not talking about your office or your business. So he's talking about your business does not believe. Right? Say, whatever is born of God, this company is born of God. Calm down. It overcomes the world. This marriage is born of God. He used first person pronoun. He, whosoever believes, you know, your shop does not believe. Doesn't even have the capacity to have faith to believe. So that's whatever is born of God. So John's use of the word born of God is a man who believes the gospel, correct? He used it again in chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, or he himself keepeth, that's God, and the wicked one does not touch him. Notice that. The wicked one does not touch him. So that is sorted. The one that cannot sin or does not commit sin. I don't like, you know, don't say the word is commit, the word is pass, the word is do. Forget that. Let's just read contextually what he was saying. It's not difficult. In verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgress also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Again, do you know that in our minds, our word for law has to change? Is that okay? Uh-huh. You know that he was manifested to take away what? Our sins. And in him is no sin. Now carefully read verse 6. Whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. What sin is he talking about? You know, this is very particular. Whosoever abides in him does not sin. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. John uses righteousness here, and it's the same word anyway that Paul used for acting right or doing the right thing. Are you there? Are you following? I missed out something. Verse 4, quickly. Where is it? Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Let me say it to you originally. Whosoever is lawless also. Listen very well. The law for sin, whosoever is lawless, that word there is lawless. For sin, okay, is lawlessness. It was just unnecessarily scattered. It wasn't necessary. He's talking about lawlessness. To be without the law or the principle. Again, we said, the word law was even used for faith by Paul. Romans 3, the law of faith, verse 27. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. Romans 8, 2. James 5, the law of perfect liberty. Not the perfect law of liberty. It's the law of perfect liberty in Christ. Whoso looks into the law, James 1, 24, the law of perfect liberty. The law of perfect liberty. So look at this again. Doeth righteous. Notice the word abide means to live in. To do what is right is the word righteous there. Same word, diakosune. Just like when Paul was telling Timothy, and he says, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in what? Righteousness. That is to do what is right. So, what is right is what we're going to look at. If I do what is right, I am righteous. What is right? So he says, whoever commits sin is of the devil. That is, he sidesteps the principle, the law. For the devil sins from the beginning. Now let me ask, what did the devil do from the beginning? Did he commit fornication? Did he steal? No. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the world. Now look at that word from the beginning. I think it's important we look at that firstly. Jesus used the same term, interesting, John noted it, in John 8:44. When I want to quote this verse, I normally turn away from the crowd. You are of your father. Or you want me to face you? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, and is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So Jesus zeroed it down to believing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because he was comparing them to Abraham. He said, if Abraham were your father, you would do his works. Abraham believed. You are not his children. You are of your father. So he was talking about believing and not believing. So come back to 1 John. Are you listening? Are you listening? 1 John 3 again. Whosoever is born of God, so it now says, cannot commit sin. For his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Please notice this. In this, the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness, not righteousness, is not of God. Neither he that loves not his brother. So there are two things. Two different things. The mistake is to think he's talking about loving your brother, because he said neither. Neither means aside from. So there are two things he's talking about. So he begins to talk about here. He said, this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him. Now, Cain did not become of the wicked one when he slew his brother. He slew his brother because he was of the wicked one. Are you listening to that? Uh-huh. Watch this. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So, he had been declared, he had a status before he killed his brother. He had not yet done anything evil. His brother was of faith. Are you there? Are you there? His brother offered by faith. And how is faith? That means God spoke. His brother acted upon it. Right? Are we there? Okay, let's move further a bit. So, he says, matter not if the world hates you. We know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. So, it goes on. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So he says, whosoever has this world's goods, and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels and compassion from him, how do I love God in him? My little brethren, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So there are two things he's talking about. He's talking about, one, who they are and what they do. Two different things. This is the same way Paul taught nature and conduct and James. Let's go further. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. Okay? If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Now, let's pick this word carefully. It's very key now. This is, you know, And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. Are you following this? This is what I've been talking about since. That we should what? Believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And love one another as he gave us instruction. So, what will be righteousness? To be righteous would mean to do what he said. To believe. Are you listening? Okay. Now let's take verse 24 together. And he that keeps, everybody 24. He that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. So, we are instructed to believe. That's why John will write, this is a write unto you that believe, that you may know that you have. So when he says, he that is born of God cannot sin. What is he talking about? Huh? Cannot not believe. Huh? Why? What is he talking about? Is it relating to actions or faith? Huh? Okay. So sin there, I'll close. Sin there relates with faith. Alright? Not individual actions or misdeeds. The man who is born of God has believed. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Do you get that? Uh-huh. So the sin is relative there. Do you understand? Uh-huh. No, he said all unrighteousness is sin, but there's a sin that leads to death. Is that okay? There's a sin that leads to death. The boy says that he that is born of God in verse 18, 1 John 5, close, he says, cannot sin because God keeps him. So it will not lead, if he, God keeps this person, keeps him from what? From death. Because he's born of God. He has believed. So the sin that leads to death will be what? I have not said anything, but I'll keep you thinking. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Just thank the Lord, give him praise.